Hey y'all, Ohio Crime Mom here, and before we jump into today's podcast, I just have a few things that I want to let you guys know. For one, if you are a part of the Ohio Crime Mom Facebook group, very, very soon, within the next week or so, we will be launching our Halloween merch. One item will only be available for a week. The other item will be available for 2 weeks. The one is only available for a week because if you want it, we need to get it done before trick-or-treat. So that will be coming very soon, so make sure you're keeping an eye out there, as well as keeping an eye out for posts, which are going to be more frequent, about the Halloween giveaway. So make sure that you are watching for that. Also, before we jump into this week's case, I know that a lot of you are probably wondering about the Gabby Petito case. First and foremost, I want to send out my condolences to anyone who loved Gabby, her family, her friends, people who watched along with everybody else, seeing her journey. Gabby seems to have been a beautiful, loving, caring young woman, and it is sad that her life has tragically came to an end. As we all know, there is a manhunt going on for Brian Laundrie, who was at one point her fiance, but I'm not sure if he was at the time. There's contradicting stories. So while, yes, it's great that there has been so much focus and attention on Gabby's case, this week we are doing a case on a missing and murdered Indigenous woman. Their cases don't get as much information or as much press, and as great as it is to see Gabby's case get this attention, and I'm so entirely thankful for it, I want to remind everyone to try to share that same attention with women of color, men of color, transgender people, anyone who doesn't get the same limelight, because their cases deserve to be heard too. At one point in today's episode, you will hear a recording of a phone call. I'm sorry if the quality is not the greatest. The quality that it was released in was not the greatest to begin with. But I will play it twice throughout the episode. And I think that's it. So let's just jump on into the case of Amber Alyssa Tuckerow. Amber Alyssa Tuckerow was born on January 3rd of 1990 in Alberta, Canada. Amber was adopted by loving parents Andrew and Vivian Tootsie Tuckerow. Along with the loving parents, she was welcomed by four older brothers. And also, before I get any further, if I pronounce something wrong, I'm sorry. A lot of these are Native American names, and I'm, excuse me, I'm not the greatest at pronouncing them. I did my best to try to do the translate thing, but I'm not sure how that's going to come out. So if I mispronounce something, please leave a comment on our Facebook group or send me an email at ohiocrimemom@gmail.com. So that way I can try to go back in and fix it. I'm not doing it to be insensitive. The Tuckerow family was a part of the Mikisku Cree First Nation and originally lived in Fort Chipewyan before later moving to Fort McMurray. Amber was known to be the apple of her mother's eye. She was well-loved and a vibrant young woman who had big dreams. She loved to sing, dance, and make others laugh. In 2010, at just 20 years old, Amber was a mother to a son named Jacob. She was a very responsible mother and loved sharing her passion for music with her son. Amber was trying to provide Jacob with a good life and finding a good home for them, but in Fort McMurray, that proved to be a challenge. Amber stayed at the Unity House, which helped people find and transition into homes, three separate times. Each time, she would return to the Tuckerow family home. On August 17th, 2010, a friend from the Unity House, who has never been named, stopped by the Tuckerow family home. She invited Amber to fly with her from Fort McMurray to Edmonton. Amber's mother expressed her concerns, but Amber, Jacob, and her friend left on the trip anyway. In order to save some money, Amber and her friend decided to stay at the Nisku Palace Motel outside of Edmonton until later travel into town. And before we get any further, let's take a break to hear from this week's sponsors. Rella's Wonder Crafts is a small, family-owned crafting business located here in Southern Ohio. They make a variety of crafts from custom shirts and tumblers to decals and wreaths, plus so much more. Since 2017, they have been creating magic and happiness by bringing their customers and visions to life. Come take a peek into their world. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Etsy, and TikTok. And just in time for Christmas, you can get so many great things. Between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. on August 18th, Amber left her son, Jacob, at the motel with her friend. The reason why differs on which source it comes from. Some say she went out to get food, while others say she was too excited to go to Edmonton that she left early. What we do know is that Amber hitchhiked and ended up in a vehicle with an unknown male. On August 19th, Amber had not returned, and her friend contacted Vivian. Vivian knew this was out of character and immediately called the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. From now on, you will hear me refer to them as the RCMP. The officer she spoke to told her that Amber was probably out partying and you couldn't file a missing persons report for 24 hours. This is a common misconception that a lot of police departments like to force, that there is either a 24-hour, 48-hour, or a one-month period. There is absolutely no allotted time that has to pass before you can report somebody missing. By August 28, 2010, the RCMP closed Amber's case and removed her from the National Database of Missing Persons. A few days later, an officer told the news that Amber was most likely in Edmonton and they had no reason to believe she was in danger. Vivian was livid, and she was able to finally get Amber added back to the National Database, but it took a month. Among this issue, the family also found out that the property Amber had left in the motel hadn't been processed months later and had been destroyed without their knowledge. Vivian herself wasn't even interviewed until 4 months after Amber went missing. In October of 2010, Amber was honored during the Edmonton Sisters In Spirit Stolen Awareness March. This march is a means to protest the violence Indigenous women face. Amber had been seen getting into a vehicle the night she disappeared, but police have never released a description of the vehicle. In August of 2012, the RCMP released a one-minute portion of a 17-minute phone call to Amber's brother the night that she disappeared. Amber's brother was being held at the Edmonton Remand Center at the time. Paul Tuckerow, Amber's brother, said that the RCMP had the recording for nearly a year before releasing the minute portion to the public. And now I will play that minute portion to you guys.
Where are we by?
We're just heading south of Beaumont, or north of Beaumont.
We're heading north of Beaumont. Yo, where are we going? No, let's go. Are you fucking kidding me? You better not take me anywhere I don't want to go. I want to go into the city. Jeez. Yo, we're not going in the city, are we? No, we're not. Then where the fuck are these roads going to?
50th Street.
50th Street, are you sure?
Absolutely.
Yo, where are we going?
50th Street.
50th Street?
Investigators believe that the unidentified man was taking Amber southeast along the rural roads of Leduc County. This would be the opposite direction of Edmonston. After the call was released, three separate women came forward saying the exact same man to identify him as the voice. This man, who is unnamed, was investigated and cleared by the RCMP. On September 1st of 2012, a group of horseback riders located a human skull on a rural property in Leduc County and called police. The discovery prompted a two-day ground search. The remains were then taken to the Edmonton Medical Examiner's Office, where the RCMP Forensic Identification Services deemed the remains as that of Amber Tuckerow. Her cause of death has never been released. The partial remains of four other women were also found within kilometers of where Amber was found. This has made many believe the possibility that Amber was a victim of a serial killer, and the RCMP has not ruled out this possibility. The four other women's remains were as follows. Edna Bernard, who went missing September 22, 2002. Katie Sylvia Ballenstein, who went missing April 28, 2003. Dolores Brower, who went missing May 15, 2004. And Carrie Aubentrent, who went missing May 9, 2004. All four women were also Indigenous women who had been hitchhiking at the time of their disappearances. On March 20th of 2014, Vivian Tuckero filed an official complaint with the Chair of Commissions for the Public. The complaints were about the Ladoc RCMP. She cited numerous issues with the investigation, and Vivian said she felt she had a right to know certain things since she had more questions than answers. In 2017, the family put up more money to increase the $5,000 reward for any information resulting in solving the case. At this time, they also launched the Justice for Amber Tuckero Facebook page. In 2018, an independent federal review of the Ladoc RCMP proved they were deficient in working on Amber's case. And in 2019, a formal apology was issued to the Tuckero family on behalf of the RCMP, but the Tuckeros refused to accept the apology. In September of 2019, the family filed to have Amber's remains exhumed for DNA testing. Their hope is to compare Jacob's DNA to that of which is on the skull to confirm or deny that it is Amber. In January of 2020, the RCMP announced that a male had contacted the Banff Dispatch in December of 2019 about a missing persons case in the area. The man, who lives in Utah, and his father, who lives in Alberta, Canada, believes that his father was who murdered Amber and the four other women. The RCMP is actively looking into this, but they said that the man has falsely accused his father in the past. According to the RCMP, Amber's case remains open, and they say that tips continue to come in. Amber's mother has said, quote, "The pain never ends. It feels like it was yesterday, especially with her killer being out there. We're not going to give up, ever. We're not going anywhere, and he needs to know that," end quote. And that is it for today's case. Like I said, anything to do with missing and murdered Indigenous women and children is very hard for you to find very much information on because they are not as widely publicized. And I do think that this is a stigma that needs to change and that we should be bringing these women and children's names forward. This is the second one that I have covered on here, and I have quite a few more others that I plan on covering, but I am trying to space them out some to give you guys some of the cases that have been requested. But my biggest reason for starting this podcast was to be able to bring a voice to those who didn't have a voice. So doing these lesser known cases and covering them is a very important thing to me. But that's all I have for this week. And until next time, don't become an episode.
Really, bye.
We're just heading south of Beaumont, or north of Beaumont.
We're heading north of Beaumont. Yo, where are we going? No, let's go. Are you fucking kidding me? You better not take me anywhere I don't want to go. I want to go into the city. Jay. Yo, we're not going in the city, are we?
We're going.
No, we're not.
Yes.
Then where the fuck are these roads going to?
Yes.